So we're going to look at three of the people in this Bible story. We're going to look at the three different points of view. So the first of all, if I can have you to stand up front, hold this one, stand on this side. We have the Pharisees, and Pharisees were all about rules. And all I could find for rules was the highway code. So that's rules representing the Pharisees. Then we're going to have the shepherd. It's a very tall one. Shepherd's hook. Currently at home, I have a nice nightlight on the floor. And this one, I should give a warning for this one. Yeah, it is Lammy. Can we borrow Lammy? That face says no. For now, you can hold the lamb. we'll just see how long that one lasts. Okay, so first of all, the Pharisees, represented by highway code. As I said, they were all about rules. Okay, the rules were partly who you could eat with, who you could associate with, which is why they had such an issue with Jesus eating with people that they considered inadequate. The Pharisees, they were good at judging. They were good at passing judgment and deciding who was good enough and who wasn't good enough. And I want to challenge that sometimes can we relate to the Pharisees? Can we have this wrong idea about, do you know what, that person, I'd love to invite them to church, but do you know what, they're just not at the bottom rung of Christian adequacy. And I want to say there is no such thing as Christian adequacy. There's no bottom rung of being a Christian. There's no bottom level of, you know, coming in at the, I don't know, the economy package. As Christians, we know that we are inadequate. We know that we don't meet all of the rules. But the Pharisees had this wrong idea, and that's where their judgment came from. And I also want to point out that, it says that the tax collectors and the sinners who were listening to Jesus, they were crowding around Jesus. They weren't crowding around the Pharisees, who had apparently the best rule book in the world. They were crowding around Jesus. They knew that they needed help, and they knew that the Pharisees weren't the place to go to get that help. So let's have a look at the shepherd then. So shepherd hook, representing our shepherds. It says that this shepherd had 100 sheep. So he's about your medium-sized flock shepherd. They range from about 20 to 200 sheep. So he's in the middle. He's medium. And I don't know that I can relate to a shepherd, but I do know that it's possibly on a par. I don't know. I can't really judge. Herding Caris. If I had 100 of her, I wouldn't cope. We've had Sainsbury's. I love Sainsbury's, but they have far too many mirrors for my liking, because that's where Caris goes. Usually that's how I find her. I can hear her talking to herself in the mirror. It's that moment when we're in a part of the shop that doesn't have mirrors, and I can't hear her and I can't see her. We had about 10 seconds of this. And her face, when we finally found each other, well, I don't think she'll do that again, I hope. but it was the worst 10 seconds of my life. And I don't have to protect her from hyenas or bears or jackals or leopards. And I only have one of her. So these shepherds, it was a risky profession. You know, you had to be brave to be a shepherd. You had to be prepared to give everything to your sheep. And the shepherds knew their sheep. I look at a sheep and I think it looks much the same as the sheep next to it, unless it's got some kind of obvious marking on its face or its wool. To me, a sheep is a sheep. But a shepherd knew their sheep, each one of them. And he would risk his life for them. And Jesus is our shepherd. In a way, he's our shepherd and our lamb. He gave his life as a shepherd would, and he was the lamb that was sacrificed. And he still is that. He still is our shepherd that will guide us and protect us. Just an extra idea. Shepherds, their sheep were an investment. That was their livelihood. And they would have expected a return on their sheep. And I would challenge you, is Jesus getting a return on his investment? It's not why we do things, but it's just an extra angle to consider. As a sheep, are you a worthwhile investment from Jesus? He'll sacrifice himself for you anyway, he did. But is he getting a return on that investment? The other thing to point out is in verse 7, it says that heaven rejoices. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And what I love about Jesus when he tells these parables is I feel a bit like there are these little in jokes. I feel like when I'm reading it, there's a little bit from Jesus going, you know who I'm talking to. Because when he says the 99 who feel like they're righteous, or the 99 unrighteous, he's talking about the Pharisees. They didn't realize that they were lost. They thought they were home and dry. And they were so blind in their judgment of others, so blind that they didn't realize that they were so in need themselves. And the sheep that will be found, they're the ones that are crowding around Jesus. The ones that the Pharisees are ignoring, they're the ones that will be found and saved. And again, I want to challenge. When it comes to the shepherd, are you a Pharisee who's busy judging about who gets to get in and who's good enough and who's not good enough? Or are you one of the tax collectors and the sinners that are crowding around Jesus, looking for the right way? And then we have our sheep. That's why the sheep's still here. She's not in the room. Yeah, thanks, Steve. So, our sheep, lammy, or on a posh day, lamy. I want to ask, how did it get lost? Because I don't think we can say that it's a problem with the shepherd. So it must have been something that the sheep was doing. Was it tempted away? Or maybe it stopped listening, stopped paying attention. Maybe it thought, do you know what? I know the shepherd's taking the 99 that way, but I just think I could try this way. And also, how far did it go? Had it given up trying to get back? Couldn't see them anymore and thought, I give up. I'll just stay where I am. Was it close enough that it could still hear the shepherd, but it thought, oh, if I go back, I'm probably going to get told off. I think I'll just delay that moment a bit and stay here because at least I've got some grass. And can you relate to that? As a sheep, us as sheep, have you found yourself that perhaps you're a bit further away from the shepherd than perhaps you're comfortable with? Can you work out why you ended up in that place where you're not as close to the shepherd as you should be? But I want to remind you who your shepherd is. Your shepherd is the one that will risk and give his life for you. And he did that. Your shepherd is the one who loves you. Your shepherd is the one that when he tells heaven that you're back, they will rejoice in a way that we can't possibly imagine. And what I want us to do now is to have a little moment of reflection. And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to reach that inner sheep. And I want you to have a moment with your shepherd, with Jesus, the one who is there to protect and guide you. And I want you to think, have I drifted? Am I as close to the shepherd as I really should be? And what are we going to do to get ourselves back to the shepherd? Do we need to turn around, make our way back to the shepherd and say, I know, I drifted, but I'm back now and I want to be part of the 100. And I want you to know how valued you are. Feel that look from the shepherd that says, you are mine. You are precious to me. And I'm just going to give you a few moments of silence. Jesus, our shepherd, I speak to you now in prayer, and I want to say thank you that you are our shepherd. I want to say thank you that you would risk everything and that you gave your life for us, your sheep, who may sometimes go astray. And I thank you that when we return, that you in heaven rejoice beyond our imagination. And I thank you that as the Almighty Shepherd, you will come back and get all of us and bring us back to the Father. Amen. Round of applause for our volunteers. Thank you for our props.